preach up here on the new stage. What do you guys think, huh? Does it look good? It's coming along. It's not finished yet, obviously, but our goal is to finish it by the 20th because we have a conference here. Remember? February 22nd through 24th, we're hosting a conference here in this building. People coming from Canada and New York and England and Australia, so they're all coming here for this conference. So please make sure you're here too, because this is for you as well. It's not just for leaders and stuff like that. But this is for the entire congregation. It's for the community of God. And you can register on your app if you have the church app. Most of you have the church app. If you don't have the church app, it's easy enough. You just go to the Play Store, download it, and you can register right there online. Just go. It's beautiful. It's nice and easy. You can also register by just calling the office or emailing the office, and we'll sign you up and register you up. Just need a head count. For it. So I want to encourage you to be there because it's going to be awesome. You're not going to want to miss it. We are really expecting awesome things to happen. Amen? Amen. Well, it is actually an awesome privilege to have these close family members of mine here with us today. From Roanoke, Virginia. They are not family by blood, but they are family by relationship. And it's such an awesome opportunity to have them here. I spent 10 years of my life, many of you know, in Virginia. And so I consider it my second home. It's Philadelphia and Roanoke, Virginia, and Virginia, Southwest Virginia, are my home. So many of you know that. And so if there's anybody who could tell you stories about my past, it's these people right here. But we are not going to let that happen. We're not going to let that happen. But no, your past is important, isn't it? Your past is important because it's this context of the story of your life. And when your story and God's story intersect, it's then you actually begin to discover, to understand the purposes that God has for you and how your story fits into His great story. So your past is important. Your story is important. So that's good stuff. So it's great to have you guys here. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been traveling through this sermon series called The Journey of Faith. I hope it's been encouraging for you. I hope it's been challenging for you. It's definitely been challenging for me. And so from the very outset, just kind of give a brief overview of the whole series, is we said that to follow Jesus, to follow Christ, is to set out on this journey of faith, right? You set out on a journey that is going into unknown territory. You have no idea what you're headed into when you sign up and say, God, I'm all yours. You can have my life. You can do whatever you want with it. And it's a journey of saying an unknown territory, and it's a journey that travels through all different kinds of terrain, right? The scenery of this journey of faith looks different from year to year, month to month, and it's so on. And so, but no matter where you find yourself on this journey, right, no matter if this is a good part of the journey right now, or if this is a really difficult part of the journey, every step of the journey requires faith. It requires faith. And it requires faith in the promises of a faithful God. Promises in a faithful God. There's a verse that we've been using as a sort of a theme verse throughout this in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says this: for we, calling about the people of God, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the whole idea there is that we are walking into this journey of faith not knowing where we're going. Where we said, God, I'm going to let you lead me and I'm going to let you guide my life, but I have no idea what's up ahead. And so I'm going to go out on this journey not knowing where I'm going. And so to walk by faith and not by sight is to go without knowing. And so over this course of this series, we've looked at how faith at times will wander. Our faith will wander at times. There's times when our faith is just seeming like it's dry and it's just you feel distant and from God and things like that. And there'll be times in our journey of faith where you travel through the road of suffering. There's suffering along this journey of faith. There's Anthony, when he was preaching, he talked about how this journey of faith, we talked about how it works in our lives and how we would appropriate that in our lives. And last week, we talked about how patient endurance is absolutely needed on the journey of faith. That what you and I need is patient endurance along this journey of faith. And so this morning, we're going to wrap it up with a faith that wins. A faith that wins, all right? How many people like to win? I love to win, man. Winning is great, isn't it? Winning is great. I coached my son's t-ball team last year. I coach all my kids' softball and t-ball leagues. But my t-ball team is awesome. They're the Chiefs. They're so cool, man. They're amped up. And what I love about this is that they design it in such a way so that everybody wins in t-ball, right? Because it's impossible for a 5-year-old to make a play in the field and get an out. So he'd be there all night, right? And so what they do is they say you bat four people in your roster, and then the fourth person gets a grand slam. So he just rounds the bases. And he's like, even the ball's like an inch in front of him. Go home, man, keep going. Just keep going. Everybody's getting excited, you know, and stuff like that. But and so every game ends in a tie. And so both teams win. So what we do after every game is I'll jog them out to the outfield. We'll take a knee and we'll just debrief about the game. What was good? What can we work on? And I get this just excited look on their faces. Hey, coach, did we win? Hey, can we win, coach? And every time I was like, absolutely we won. We're the Chiefs, man. Right? And so they would just get so amped up. Yeah, we won. Well, one time I was honest with them. And I said, well, guys, actually today we didn't win. Actually today both sides won. And they just got so dejected. They're like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. They won too? They didn't realize, their just whole demeanor was just bummed out when they discovered that they didn't win, that they actually tied. But we all want to win, right? There's something in us that wants to know that what I've applied myself into, what I've gotten myself into, will end in victory, that it will end in success. And that's why I've entitled this morning's message, Faith That Wins, because the Word of God tells us that not only does this faith journey that we're on end in victory, but the truth of the matter is that we can experience that faith in every situation in our lives. We can experience the victory of that faith in our lives each and every day as you apply it. So I don't know about you, but I'm not in this journey of faith to receive a participation trophy. I'm really not. If all of the hurts and all of the disappointments and all the hardships and all the frustrations and all the sorrow and all the disasters that come in life, if all of that was to sum up and at the end of this whole thing, I received a participation certificate that said, congratulations, you're a good sport, forget it. Count me out. Am I the only one? Like if this is all worth it, count me out. I don't want a participation certificate here. We're on this journey of faith because we know that God has secured an absolute certain victory through Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe. And the amazing thing is that we're going to learn this morning is that he then takes the victory that is in Christ and he actually shares it with you, shares it with those who place their faith and trust in him. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to 1 John, you can follow along. It's also going to be up on the screen behind me. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. Now, John is the disciple of Jesus. He's got a really close connection with Jesus. He's really close friends with Jesus. He also wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. And so John's got a nice footprint in Scripture here. And so he knows Jesus and he knows what he's talking about. And so he says this really bold statement in verses 4 through 5 that I want us to grab a hold of this morning. And it says this. He says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. All right? For everyone who has been born of God, whoever God has given new life to, has breathed new life into, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What does it say? Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. It says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, so what John is doing here is he's making a clear distinction right here. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you and I will overcome the wiles and the hardships of this world. He says if you believe in the incarnation, he says if you believe that Jesus is the person of God, he breaks it down so simply for us that believing in the person of God is where we find victory. You may be thinking, well, how does that really determine a faith that wins? How does that determine a victorious faith? Well, let's look at that. The greatest thing that Jesus did, I think, is that he brought this amazing news to the world, right? That the God who created you, who breathed life into your lungs and breathed you from dust, also loves you and also cares about your situation as a human being. He sent Jesus in this world to show that not only that he created you, but that he loves you and that he cares about what you're going through. You see, for John, what he's getting at here is that if your belief in Jesus is in the incarnation as the Son of God, then you believe that Jesus literally took on flesh, right? That God took on flesh and came into our humanity and entered into our humanity. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus emptied himself. He laid down all of his, his prestige and all of his riches and all of his honor and all of his glory. He laid aside his dignity. And what he did is that he entered into humanity. He entered into the human condition that we all are familiar with. And he took it upon himself. And he took upon the limitations of humanity. And so if that's true, if God came in the form of flesh and came in the form of human being in Jesus Christ, then that means he cares enough about us to experience what you and I experience. He cares enough about what we're going through. He entered into humanity to relate and experience with what we experience. And if that's the case, then it means that God then shared in all the different components of life that you and I share in. It means that he knows the many trials that we face. He knows the many trials and temptations that we go through. He knows, he's very familiar with the sorrows and the heartaches and the things that we deal with that are so common to this world. In other words, everything that happens in life, everything that we go through as human beings is fully understood by God. Completely understood by God. And God's answer to the problem that the world faces was to send Jesus Christ not only to experience it all, but to claim victory over it all. Not only to experience everything that we go through, but to claim victory over it all. You see, the human condition is real. The human situation is a reality. It's what we and I face. It's the things that we encounter every single day in life. And the human situation is full of these things that are trying to compete with our faith. They're trying to kind of rip our faith away. Paul talks about it and he says this is a warfare of faith that is happening. This spiritually, there's a warfare going on, that there's things that we encounter simply by being a fallen mankind and simply being broken humanity, that we encounter the hardest parts of life, the worst part of life. And there's these sorrows that we experience in life, these perplexities, these disappointments and these past failures and the heartaches and the disasters of life that we all are familiar with, that make up us as being part of humans living in a broken world. The fallout of this broken world threatens our faith. And when you're faced with these things, they're there to threaten your faith so that our eyes will then be taken off of God. That our eyes will be taken off of the truth of who God is and what he's done and what he's accomplished for us. And so then what happens is that our eyes are then focused directly on situation and circumstances that we face. It threatens our faith. The fallout of this broken world that we live in threatens our faith to take our eyes off of God and onto situation, which in turn will cause us to doubt the faithfulness of God. But again, John says here, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That word overcome in the Greek means to prevail, that they will have victory in this world. And that world there means the broken aspects of this world that we live in, all the chaos and all those things that I was describing. And he says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith that God sent Jesus into this world to not only experience everything that we experience, but to claim victory over it all through his death and his resurrection. And it says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, that word believe is an active word. It's not just to have a mental acknowledgement of God. It means to appropriate belief. A scriptural word for belief means to have an active trust where you're acting upon that belief. And so the truth of the matter this morning is that if you have that belief that Jesus is the Son of God, then you believe that God himself went through all of this, even to the point of cross. He encountered everything that you and I encounter in life. The fallout of this broken world tried to take Jesus out. It tried to get the best of him. It threw its worst at Jesus. He was mocked. He was slandered. He was judged. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was crucified. The world did everything it could to take him out, but it failed. But it failed. And he went to the cross, and after the cross came the resurrection. And so that means that after the shame that he experienced came the glory that he got to experience. And that is the Jesus that we place our faith in. The one who has seen human life at its worst. The one who has experienced the darkest and the lowest form of life, of human life, even to the point of humiliating death. But the good news this morning, the best news you're going to hear this morning, or all week, is this, that Jesus, through his resurrection, conquered death. And he overcame all of those things in this world. And he then shares that victory with you and I. He shares that victory with you and I. Last week, we had a visit from somebody who we are associated with. It's the guy who was leading worship this morning. It's his older brother, Rob. And we haven't seen him for about a year and a half. And the reason why we haven't seen him in a year and a half is because his family has been going through pretty much the trial of trials, right? Like, what happened was about a year and a half ago, he was at work and he suffers a massive stroke to the point where he was laying on the floor by himself for 4 hours in stroke mode, right? And so the doctors understood the situation. There's like, there's no way this guy should be alive. There's absolutely no way he should be alive. And so what they did is they took off half of his skull and to let the swelling go down. And they were fearful and everything like this. And what happened is the swelling goes down and they had to put the skull back on, but they did, the bleeding didn't stop. And so the bleeding just kept going on in the brain and stuff like that. They had to take the skull back off and do some more surgeries. And now you can imagine just being in this state of mind, and you're just thinking, okay, how does this fit into everything? How does this fit into everything? And you saw them here last week. If you remember, they were here, and he's doing great right now. He's a walking miracle. And every single one of them, the kids, the mom, the wife, they all had just this big old smile on their face, just enjoying the presence of God because they've seen God's faithfulness come true in their lives. They've seen the victory of what God has promised in their lives. And they wrote a letter that I want to share with you. It's a little thank you note because we've been involved with them along this process. And it says this. It said, "Dear Cornerstone family, we just want to say thank you for all the prayers and your generous hearts. God is great." That's what they said after this, about a year and a half after this entire situation. God is great all the time. And he continues to work miracles in Rob, and we give him all the praise and the glory. And she said, "You know, sometimes God changes our path, and our faith walk turns into this unexpected life, which at times is really scary, and it's dark, and it's cold in the beginning. But God is faithful to his promises. And what happens then is that cold, dark place becomes a beautiful, warm home when we allow God to work in it. And we allow him to, when we trust him through it." And she says, "Thank you so much. There is so much love in our hearts for this family. Love, the Palandros." Now that's, I mean, if there is a trial that you go through that's going to compete and try to rip, threaten your faith, it's something like that. I mean, when she talks about this, it is something that was all-encompassing in their life. I mean, you think about it. It had effect on finances. It had effect on their emotions. It had effect on their workplace. And it had effect on their spiritual life. It had effect on their family relationship because of the tension of going on and what to tell doctors and what not to tell doctors and should we give up and all this stuff. You can just imagine it's this all-encompassing just disaster in your life. And that's her response a year and a half later. That's her response a year and a half later. It's a great application that this faith that we have is not something just to have. It's something that we are to apply in our lives every single moment of our lives. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "In this world you're going to have a lot of trials and tribulations, but take heart," he says, "for I have overcome the world." Grab a hold of courage, he says, "for I have overcome the world." And I love when he says that. He says that just before, this is before he gets arrested. This is before he goes to the cross. So Jesus is making this awesome statement. He's like just dropping the mic. "The trouble in this world is going to be tribulations, but take heart, guys. I have overcome the world." Drop the mic, right? It's that kind of situation. I love it. It's bold. And what I want you to see this morning is that if your faith in Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you have this indestructible hope of victory. That his victory becomes your victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about this too. Paul gets all really amped up about this, and you can have it, put it up behind me. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that incredible? Did you see here this just transferring of victory that God gives to his people, to those who put their faith and trust in him? He shares with you and I. And that's what John was getting at as well. He was talking about that this victory, that the victory that overcomes the evil and the heartache and the hardships of this world and the ugliness of this world is our faith in a risen Savior. That he came to earth and he encountered everything that we go through and he claimed victory over it all. And he sealed that victory through the resurrection. That's good news, guys. That's awesome news. And so my question for you this morning is this. If the victory that overcame this world is our faith, if the victory that overcomes this world and all the hardships and trials of this world is our faith, knowing that it's entrenched in the finished work of Jesus Christ, how then are you applying that to your life? How then are you applying that to your life? Are you applying it at all? Is your faith active in your life, or is it just laying idle? You see, when he uses this word faith, the word there is, it assumes action. The word faith assumes action. There's action in the word. It's a confident action that you take what you know and what you believe and you act upon it. That's what faith is. Those are the ingredients of faith, that you take what you know and you believe in it and you put it into action into your life. It's like if you're on an airplane and you ever go on an airplane and the stewardess tells you that there's a flotation device under your chair, right? And so you have knowledge that the flotation device is under your seat. And she told you that it's under your seat. And you believe in its design. You believe in the manufacturers. You believe in the engineers that they designed something that could save your life. But when your plane goes nose first into the water, right, that thing is going to do no good for you unless you put it around your neck. Right? You see, the same is true with our faith. We can know of God. I can believe that in what God has done for me. But if I don't live it out, if I don't apply that faith into my situation of life, then it has no worth and value in my life. The Word of God tells us that in Ephesians 2:8, that God gives us the gift of faith as a gift. It's a gift that he gives us. It's a gift that he gives us because he's saying it. He's saving us. Faith comes from God. It is a gift that God gives to you, and he gives it to you to apply it to your lives. He gives it to apply to your lives. It's not something that ends when you first believe. It's at that very moment of your first belief that faith is activated. But it has no value in your life, has no worth in your life unless it is at work, unless you apply it to your life. I mean, with Stacy and with Rob and their family, the same thing is true. They had to, in that moment, when it all hit the fan, and Rob is laying 4 hours in a stroke, and nobody's coming to his rescue, and he finally gets to the hospital, in that very moment, they had a choice to make. Am I going to place my faith that I've of this God who I know, and what I believe that he's done for me, am I then going to apply that faith into this situation right now, when I have no idea what's going to happen? They had to take what they knew of God. They had to take what they believed about God and what he has done for them through Christ and the victory that Jesus secured for them. And they had to apply that faith in that moment. A faith that says, God, you're my only hope. And no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what I face tomorrow, the truth will remain the truth. And I'll take another step today, trusting in your faithfulness, God. For you have never failed me, and you never will. So be my strength today. Sustain me according to your promises today. That's a faith that wins. Anthony, can I invite you and the worship team to come and join me up here, please? Thank you, guys. Here's my last point, and I just want to wrap it up this morning with this. A faith that wins is a faith that lives in response to the truth that Jesus Christ claimed victory over the world. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. Faith that wins is a faith that lives in response to the truth that Jesus Christ claimed victory over the world. That no matter what comes down the road on this journey of faith that we travel, as we go on this journey led by God, not knowing where it's going to lead. As a result of this broken world, we face all these things in life. The truth remains true. Will I then apply that faith directly into my life and discover victory in that moment? You see, folks, this is what gives us an ability to be so cheerful in the midst of disaster. This is what allows us to be what Paul talks about, just being so overjoyed when we come across trials, because we know the end destination ends in victory, and God shares the victory with us to experience it in the present, right? So we can be joyful. We can have joy in the midst of trial and circumstance because we know who our God is. We know what He's done. We know the promises that He made, and we know that He's faithful. And last week when we saw Stacy and Rob here and just the big old smile on their face, they just went through a year and a half of the worst that any of us can experience in life. And they got a big old cheesy grin on, and they're just loving on God because they have seen His faithfulness. And no matter what you can't see ahead of you, you can still have something to cheer about. Now I just want to close with this last story. In 1982, there's a testimony about a team, the University of Wisconsin, the Badgers, and there's 60,000 fans in this stadium. And this is 1982. There's no cell phones or anything like that, right? And what takes place is that the University of Wisconsin, the Badgers, are just getting pummeled by Michigan State. They're just getting disaster, all of them, right? And so what happens is that as the score just gets even more and more lopsided, it's just getting more and more punishable by Michigan State, you begin to hear this weird phenomenon happening in the stadium. You hear just bursts of cheers. And people are looking around like, there's just pockets of cheers going on all over. Meanwhile, on the field, what's in front of them, what they can see with their own eyes, is disaster, right? And here are these people in the stands, and they're just cheering. And they're like, what is going on? What are these people cheering about? Well, here to find out, there's the people who brought their portable radios in the stadium with them. And about 70 miles west of them, the Milwaukee Brewers had just beaten the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the World Series. And so here they are. They are cheering and they're like erupting because they still had victory. You getting me? You follow me here? It was still their victory, though what they saw in front of them was disastrous. And that's what they saw in front of them. They had victory. They couldn't see 70 miles away. They heard about it on a radio, that victory. And they're Milwaukee fans. This is my victory, right? This is my victory too. And so this is the same. This is a great illustration, a great picture, an accurate picture of the journey of faith that we're on. And we might have been in the midst of just horrible circumstances, and yet we have something to be joyful and cheer about. And that is that we're able to see by faith and not by sight the victory that Jesus Christ won and that God shares with us. Amen? That is a faith that wins. Amen? Stand with me, please, as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for all Your goodness to us. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You that Your goodness, Lord, is targeted at us here in this moment right now. And I thank You for the promise and the truth that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to this earth on our behalf to encounter humanity and to suffer the worst of it and to experience it all, but to then claim victory over it all through the resurrection. And Lord, You say that that victory is our victory, that You have given us that victory through Christ Jesus. So Lord God, we stand today excited. We stand today, Lord God, that no matter what we're facing a situation in life, that we are going to apply that faith into our situation and our circumstance now. And we thank You. We apply our faith because You said it to be so. We praise You and we thank You. And we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.